Okay, we're beginning here with two lines from the bottom of Pei Vavun Bet. The Gemara says, Itmar, Pershu Kodem Chatzot, Vechziran Achar Chatzot. Here we have Machloket Amuraim with regards to that which we discussed yesterday, which is the Shvirei. These are pieces of the Evarim that ended up in the Mizbeach. They were not completely consumed to the point where they turned into Deshen, yet they were no longer really Basar or Evarim anymore because they already had hardened to the point where they were deemed to be Deshen. Over there we said before that Chatzot was a cutoff with regards to that. And it was, if prior to Chatzot they came off the Mizbeach, you'd have to return them onto the Mizbeach. If they came off after Chatzot, then there would be no need to return them on the Mizbeach. If you wanted to, you could. Plus, there was the Machloket Rashi and the Baalei Tosafot as to what it meant that then they were deemed Deshen. Rashi thought they were even deemed Deshen to the point where you could take them off for Tumat Deshen. The Baalei Tosafot said either they were deemed Deshen so that you don't have to return them to the Mizbeach, or the possibility that they were good enough to be placed in the Tapuach or for Hatzat Deshen, but not for Tumat Deshen. So in a scenario like that, where you have them on the Mizbeach, and they came off before Chatzot. Coming off before Chatzot would have required them to be replaced. But then he only places them back after Chatzot. Rabba Amar, Chatzot Sheni Ukaltan. The second Chatzot consumes them. Chista Amar, Amud HaShachar Ukaltan. Dawn is what causes them then to be consumed. So what we're looking for here is a threshold which deems them to be Deshen. Well, here they missed the original threshold, which was Chatzot. They came off before Chatzot. Had they been put on before Chatzot, then they would have passed the Chatzot and deemed to be Deshen. But they missed that threshold because they were down off the Mizbeach, and then they were only replaced in the Mizbeach after Chatzot. Is there another time threshold which then governs this Aver by which you will transform it from being Shrirei and still requiring Hakdaran the Mizbeach to a point where it will be deemed Deshen? So Rabba says you have to wait until the next night. Chatzot is the cutoff. It missed the cutoff tonight. It'll have to stay on the Mizbeach until tomorrow night. And at that point, it will then cross over Chatzot again, and that will deem it to be Deshen. On the other hand, Rav Chista says, Amud HaShachar Ukaltan, that the next threshold is a time that is significant for the Evarim, which is Amud HaShachar, because at Amud HaShachar, that's when the Evarim are psulei lina, if they were not placed on the Mizbeach. So it is a significant time period for the Evarim, and at that threshold, it'll be deemed to be Deshen. Amarei Bei Rav, they say based on the Beit Midrash of Rav, over here the Baalei Tosafot deal with the technical problem, because generally the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Bei Rav is a reference to Rav Huna, and Rav Chista, who is the Bala Memra over here, is actually a Talmid of Rav Huna. So that makes it difficult that they're saying it over in Bei Rav, that Bei Rav is explaining Rav Chista. That means Rav Huna, the Rebbe, is explaining the Talmid's Shita of Rav Chista. So either the Baalei Tosafot say that Rav Huna also said this, and that's why they're quoting it in the name of Bei Rav, or we see in a number of places that Rav Huna compliments his Talmid, Rav Chista's positions, and he quotes his Talmid, Rav Chista. So maybe this is one of those times that that happened. Although there are other Baalei Tosafot and Shas that deal with the exact relationship between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, where it seems that sometimes one is the Talmid of the other, and then vice versa. So this might be one of those instances where there is a statement of Rav Huna explaining that of Rav Chista. My time with Rav Chista, what's the reasoning behind Rav Chista's position? Uma chatzot, she'enu sedlina. Chatzot, which is not a threshold that makes it that if the Evarim were not in Mizbeach, they'd be deemed to be lina, left past their time, then have to be burnt. Beit Asreifa. Oseh ikul. And yet it's still able to create the threshold by which the item we deem to be Deshen. Amud HaShachar she'oseh lina. Amud HaShachar, which at that point it is deemed to be lina for Evarim that are not on the Mizbeach, now in violation of lina and have to be burnt. And as Rashi notes over here, because lina is affected for those things that are not on the Mizbeach, based on the pasuk that says, lo yalin chelev chagi ad boker. That means kol alayla yalin. The entire night they are allowed to be off the Mizbeach. Only at the threshold of Alot HaShachar is there this psul of lina. Enu din shoseiko? Then certainly it should have the ability to create the threshold that whatever passes it is deemed to be consumed or deemed to be ashes. Now, the Baalei Tosafot say over here that that Kal V'Chomer doesn't work for Rabba, and that's why Rabba has a difference of opinion here, based on what he says later on in today's daf, that Itle B'Samuch Ein Lila Molelet B'Roshosho Shel Mizbeach, that there is no concept of Lina on the top of the Mizbeach, and therefore there is no Kal V'Chomer over here, because you can undermine that Kal V'Chomer. Malach Atzot Shkeno Seikul B'Roshosho Shel Mizbeach, that Ikul happens on the top of the Mizbeach, even when you're on Mizbeach, and therefore Din Paka Lo Yachzir, Tomar Ba'amud HaShachar, She'ein Lina Puselet B'Roshosho Shel Mizbeach, Lina has no impact on the Rosh HaMizbeach. And so therefore, there is a difference in the functioning of these items. Ikul will take place while the item is on the Mizbeach. Lina will not take place while the thing is on the Rosh HaMizbeach. And for that reason, the Kal V'chomer is undermined because Amud HaShachar has this kula associated with it, which is that it's not effective when the item is on the Rosh HaMizbeach. So for that reason, Rabbah does not subscribe or cannot subscribe to this Kal V'chomer. And therefore, he has a difference of opinion here that is based on his shita that we'll bump into later on. Now, the Gemara says, Pershu kodem chatzot, yazirel na'achar Amud HaShachar. What about in a situation in which they came off the Mizbeach before chatzot, were only replaced after Amud HaShachar? Rabba Mar, Chatzot Sheni Ukaltan. Rabba, similar to his previous view, says, there's nothing lost here. You have to wait until the second Chatzot, just like you did before. Even when you just missed Chatzot, Amud HaShachar is not a significant threshold. And so, just like in the previous case, you have to wait until Chatzot of the next night, so to over here, you have to wait till the Chatzot of the next night to be deemed Deshe. Chista Mar, Ein Bahem Ikul Le'ulam. Chista says, they will never be deemed to have been consumed, meaning that they have to remain on the Mizbeach, until they really are consumed and made into deshen. You can't say la'ulam means that they will never be in that way, but rather, there's no halachic threshold that makes them into deshen, but once they are deshen, of course they can be taken off the mizbeach. And as Rashi notes over here, that will mean, b'choship pukim, anything that pops off the mizbeach, yatzir, will have to be replaced on the mizbeach. Umo alim behen, and they will have a din of mi'ilah, ajiyasu deshen, until they finally become deshen into ashes. Now what's interesting about Rashi's explanation is that we already know that lino is affected by Amud HaShachar. This item that was not there on the mizbeach by the time of Alot HaShachar, now is, it's nifsal b'lina. Despite the fact that it's nifsal b'lina, we know that these types of items, lan is one of the items that if you put it on the mizbeach, lo terei. So if it was returned to the mizbeach, it will not come off the mizbeach. But nevertheless, we've already seen before that when it comes to these items that are put on the mizbeach and then stay there, even though they're not supposed to be on the mizbeach, if pokim, if they come off the mizbeach, you don't have to return them to the mizbeach. So why over here does Rashi suggest that you have to return them to the mizbeach if we already seen that the things that are psulim that end up in the mizbeach, in paku, if they come off, we don't return them to the mizbeach. So some of the achronim, like the Keren Orah, suggest that these are possibly shrirei that are not subject to the psul of lina. He says, "Ulai elu shayu al maracha v'shaltar b'hen ha'ish ein nifsalin od b'lina afilu ayu agav akarko." Maybe items that already the fire took hold of them, they are no longer nifsal b'lina, and therefore it's not subject to the psul of lina. And in that way, if they were put on the mizbeach, they need to be put on the mizbeach. And if they came off, you'd return them to the mizbeach. It says, I never found that explicitly anywhere, but I have to try to find a way to explain Rashi's view over here. But he goes, with regards to mi'ilah, that's easy to understand, because even if they are pasul, there can be still a din of mi'ilah, because no nase mitzvatan. They were not completely consumed yet, and therefore there is a din of mi'ilah. That just says a aside. The problem with Rashi's explanation, but in general, what Reb Chista is suggesting over here is that there is no threshold of equal anymore, and therefore the only way to reach the point of equal is through ashes. Matki flo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef questions this whole argument over here. Ma meim alon dechatzot v'rosh mizbeach mishavi lo equal. Who says that the item has to be on the mizbeach for the threshold of chatzot to be meaningful or bearing on these items? Dilma kohecha dimishkachalu mishavi lo equal. Maybe anywhere they're found, chatzot is the cutoff, and if they're already shrirei before chatzot, then when chatzot comes around, they are then considered to be mi'ukal, and they no longer have to be placed in the mizbeach. Who says they have to be on the mizbeach for chatzot to have an impact on them? Shalchu mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael. Hilchata k'Rav Yosef, the halacha follows Rav Yosef. Itmar nami, we have a similar member of an amora, Rav Chiya Ba'ava, pershu kodem chatzot, v'yachzir machar chatzot, lo nehenin ve'lo mo'alin. You don't get anah from them, but you're not mo'el in them. You're not mo'el in them because they already have nasem mitzvatan. They're already completed because chatzot passed and they already shrirei. So there's no reason to believe that there is any more mi'ilah. And Rashi says, lo ne'enin mi derabanan. Although you can see here in the Bali Tosvot, the Rabbeinu ayam mifaresh min haTorah. The lo ne'enin is still a din Torah. Kevin shein lachmo shel mizbeach. Since they belong to the mizbeach at this point in time, you're not allowed to get any hana from them. Now, they are yatsami de mi'ilah because the mitzvah was done when they passed the threshold of chatzot. But nevertheless, they still belong to the mizbeach and therefore there's an isa hana'ah that's associated with them midoraita. So machlok Rashi and Tosafot as to whether the lo nenin over here is derabanan or deoraita. But nevertheless, you see here again that the threshold of chatzot has impact even when the item is not on the mizbeach. V'chein tana bar kaparo pershu kodem chatzot v'chziram nachar chatzot yotzim midei mi'ilah. So here you have both Rav Yosef, Rav Chir Bava, and then a Braita brought by Bar Kapara, that any time the item crosses over Chatzot, whether it is on the Mizbeach or off the Mizbeach, that's classified as being equal. Even though in general, whenever it comes to an item like this, where we pass an halacha about something that is not relevant today, it's not halacha l'maisa, the Gemara asks, Hilchot al Mashiach, is this something that has halachic ramifications today? Why are you telling me what the halacha is? When a Mashiach comes, we'll know what the halacha is, or we'll pass an halacha. So here the Bali Tosafot say about Hilchot al Rav Yosef Perish, Yafeh Amar, Ve'ein Zeh Psak Halacha. It's not really a Psak Halacha saying that the halacha is like Rav Yosef, but rather, they are agreeing with his view here that the threshold of Chatzot is impactful both on and off the Mizbeach. So it's not saying the halacha is like Rav Yosef, but rather that they favor Rav Yosef's explanation over that of Rav Chista and Rabba, who both think that Chatzot has no impact when the item is not on the Mizbeach. And that's what it means, Hilchot, not a Psak Halacha. Now that we got from Eretz Yisrael, Hilchot Rav Yosef, Vam Rav Chir Bava, V'chein Tani Bar Kapara, if all these individuals saying that that is the proper view over here, which is that Chatzot has impact whether it's on or off the Mizbeach, Rabba Rav Chista by Mike Plige, then what's the machlok between Rabba and Rav Chista? We have to assume that they weren't arguing on this fundamental because there's so many people who seem to agree that Chatzot is impactful even if it's off the Mizbeach. So now we have to find something else about which Rabba and Rav Chista are arguing that is not in dissonance with this view of Rav Yosef, which we paskin like. Samalei Bishmanim. Speaking about Evarim that have fat on them. They're not like the shriri before, which as Rashi described with them, they were dried out completely by the fire, but they are speaking about items that have a lot of fat inside of them. And so therefore that fat keeps them to be moist for a much longer duration, and they would have a requirement of being placed back on the Mizbeach even after Chatzot, meaning that there is no threshold of Chatzot for these items, because I feel ukshul, I'll be equal. Even if they are hardened, there's not considered to be consumed. Because their fat stops them or impedes their ability to turn into ash. So therefore you can't deem them as ash as long as the fats are still in there. Although that solution is somewhat difficult because it sounds like from Rashi that even if they were on the Mizbeach, Chatzot wouldn't have impact over here. So then why are Rabban Rav Chista worried about whether Chatzot was a threshold or not a threshold? Because on the Mizbeach it wouldn't have been a threshold anyway. So why do they need to come off the Mizbeach at all? The only question is, do they have another threshold, like the threshold of Alot HaShachar or Chatzot of the following night? But the Chatzot itself of that night, even if they were on the Mizbeach, would have no impact. And so that makes the Ukimta somewhat difficult in this view of Rabban Rav Chista. And more strikingly, the Rambam leaves out this whole din completely. The way the Gemara has it set up, the halacha is like Rav Yosef, and then we switch the halacha of Rabba and Rav Chista to be speaking about something else, then they should also have to have a din that's pasuk according to the Rambam, and it's completely absent there. And the Keren Ara says about all of this, Ein dvarim brurim etzli, adivo kohen mur'eh, v'skid avakesh mipiv Torah, says it's very unclear to me how this all works out, both in the Rambam Shita, as well as the explanation of this machloki between Rabba and Rav Chista, if these items are not deemed to be mukal at Chatzot. Could be that the Gemara is just trying to reconcile between Rav Yosef and Rabba Rav Chista, but in truth, Rabba and Rav Chista don't think that, and in truth, Rav Yosef doesn't think that, and they really are arguing. Gemara is trying to come up with a way to reconcile between them, but in the end, it's not a strong reconciliation, and that's what contributes either to this difficult understanding of the Gemara, or the fact that the Rambam totally ignores that machloket of Rabba Rav Chista with regards to Shmini. Vaymine Rava Mirabo. Rava queried of Rabba, his Rebbe, Lina Mo'elet Biroshosho Mizbeach. Lina Mo'elet Biroshosho Mizbeach. Does Lina help when you're on the top of the Mizbeach? Meaning, is it impactful on the item? Does Lina then have an impact on the item and make it pasul? Or has no impact Biroshosho Mizbeach? Hechi Dami. What exactly is this scenario? Ilame Delo Yardu. If it's a situation where they never came off the Mizbeach, Hashta Lanu Bazara, in a case where they actually were on the floor of the Azara, when Alot HaShachar came, and then they became Pasul Lina, then if they ended up on the Mizbeach, Amar Tolo Yardu, then they will not be taken off the Mizbeach, Berosho Mizbeach, mi boy. And there's any question, if they're already on the top of the Mizbeach, even if they became Pasul Lina, there'd be no reason to take them off anyway. Vela de Yardu, that they came off the Mizbeach. It's a situation in which they were on the Rosh HaMizbeach, past the threshold of Alot HaShachar. And the question is, does Lina have impact on them when they're on the Rosh HaMizbeach? The question only arises when they now came off the Mizbeach after Alot HaShachar. Do we say Lushulchan Midaminan La? We compare it to the Shulchan Lechem Aponim. It's not that we have a Mishnah in Menachot that says, Afilu Hein Ala Shulchan, Yermim Rabim. Even if they're on the Shulchan for an extended period of time, it's not a problem. They do not become pasul. The Mishnah is really speaking about a scenario in which they only put the Lechem Aponim on Shulchan on Sunday. Normally it's put on Shabbat. And then on the following Shabbat, you bring the Bazichim, your Makbid the Bazichim on the Mizbeah. And then the Lechem Aponim is eaten by the Kohanim. Here they only put it on Sunday, and it wasn't sufficient time for there to be there for full 7 days. You leave it on the Shulchan for an additional week, and then they only take it out on the second Shabbat, or basically 13 days later, in order to have a full 7 day period until the Shabbat, and they take it off then. Now, it's a strange proof, because it's a scenario or a situation in which they did it improperly. They put it on too late for it to be deemed solely not because they don't have a full 7 days. But implied in that Mishnah is if they were put on the proper Shabbat, doesn't mean that then you could keep it on for a subsequent Shabbat. That the Bali Tosafot discusses over here and tries to prove the fact that even in a scenario where they put it on properly on Shabbat, that still could stay on the Shulchan and would not become Pasul, and that the Miut over here from the Mishnah is other items. If it was put on at night, came into Laila in Mechusos Man, Nifsal Belina, it does cause a problem of Lina. It was put on properly, Biyom Shabbat, doesn't become Pasul, Naso, Lachmo Shel Mizbeach, or Lachmo Shel Shulchan. And so therefore, just like by the Shulchan, if it's on there for a longer duration, it's not Pasul, so too over here. If it stays on the Mizbeach, even past the normal time that Lina would affect it, Lina has no impact on it. Odilma, the Kakamidamina. Or maybe we compare the Tav Mizbeach to like the floor of the Azara. And on the floor of Azara, if you pass by the threshold of Alot HaShachar, there's Psul Lina. So to on the top of the Mizbeach, there's also Psul Lina. As Rashi says over here, it makes more sense even to say that, because the Ritzpah or the floor is part of the structure of the Mikdash, and the Mizbeach HaChitzon is actually a binyan or a structure in the Beit HaMikdash. And so then you're learning one binyan from another binyan, rather than the Shulchan, which is deemed to be a Kli Sharet. Amalei, ein lina b'rosho shel mizbeach. There is no lina on the top of the mizbeach. Or in essence, what he's suggesting is that the parallel between the mizbeach and the Shulchan is a better parallel than the mizbeach and the mitzvah. And that likely is because that the mizbeach is also called, and we have this quoted in Masechet Avot, that ze ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem, that the mizbeach is also called a Shulchan. And so they do function in a similar fashion, that the Mizbeach and the Shulchan are used interchangeably or synonymously, and therefore Rabbah believes that the Mizbeach functions like the Shulchan, and given that, it protects that which is on top of it from being subject to Lina or the Psul of Lina. I want to know, Kiblamine Olo. Did Rava accept this from Rabbah, or did he not accept it from Rabbah? Tashma, Ditmar, we have a case, the Ivarim Shlanu Be'Azara. Ivarim that were left over in the Azara, Mikater Ve'Olech Kol HaLayla. You're allowed to place them on the Mizbeach all night. Lan birosho shel Mizbeach. If they stay on top of the Mizbeach, mikater veolech leolam. You continue to put them on forever. You can continue to move them onto the pyre for as long as you want without any limitation. There is no psulina. Yardu. If they come off the Mizbeach, Rabba Amar Yalu. Rabba says they go back on the Mizbeach. This is Rabba the Shitato, that there is no psulina on the top of the Mizbeach. And since the item was on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach when it came Alot HaShachar, there is no psulina, no psulina. If they come off the Mizbeach, you gotta put them back on the Mizbeach, because these are, quote unquote, kosher ivarim that need to be consumed in the pyre. Rav Amar, lo yalu. Rav says they are not returned. Shmamina, lo kibla mine, shmamina. See from here that he did not accept what Rav said, and that in the top of the Mizbeach, there is still a psulina. Or in essence, he compares it more to the Ritzpat HaZarah, because of the correlation between Binyan and Binyan, versus Rav, who compares it to the Shulchan, because of the fact that they are spoken about in a synonymous manner in the Nevi'im. And now, even though the statement before of Lan Barosh Hashem Mizbeach Mekater V'Olech Le'olam makes it sound like there is no psulina, Rava does agree to that position, because once it's on the Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, lo yardu, they don't come off the Mizbeach. So even though, yes, there was impact of lina and they became psulim on the top of the Mizbeach, nevertheless, once they're on the top of the Mizbeach, even Rava agrees that you continue to put them on the pyre. The only question really arises, im yardu, if they come off the Mizbeach. You can see that in Rashi, who said, filo damrina lina moelet perosh Mizbeach, which is Rava's shita, maskinin lehu b'maracha. You still place them onto the pyre, shay psulim shalu lo yardu. Because once they're on the Mizbeach, you don't take them off the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara continues and says, k'shem shem Mizbeach mikadesh, so the kevesh, the ramp of the Mizbeach, is mikadesh. Tarabanan, how do we know this? Anogeya ba Mizbeach. The The Pasuk says in Shmot Koftet, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, something we already quoted earlier, Shivat Yamim, Techaper Al HaMizbeach, Bikidash Ta'oto, Baya Mizbeach Kodesh Kodeshim, Kono Geaba Mizbeach Yikdash. So that's how we know that the Mizbeach is Mikadesh, items that get onto it, even if they are psulim, in the Mizbeach, Kevesh Minayin. How do I know that the ramp has the same impact? So here there's some machloket as to what the proper girsa is. You can see that in Otei of the Shita Mikuvetzet. The way that we have it here, tended to be a reference to the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Bet, which is Karban Reishit Takrivo Otam Lashem, Ve'el HaMizbeach Lo Yalu L'Reach Nikoach. So that would be El HaMizbeach. That's one possibility of what the quote is over here. Ve'el HaMizbeach means, in addition to the Mizbeach, that there is a ribuy there. Or the other possibility is that it's a reference to Shmot, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Havchet, where it says, ve'et mizbach ha'ola, ve'et kokela, ve'et akior, ve'et kano. So again, ve'et, the riboy, that there's something additional besides the mizbach itself. Klei sharet minayin. How do we know that? That's not only true of the mizbach, not only true of the kevesh, but also of the klei sharet as well. That's found in Perek Lamed in the subsequent pasuk chavtet, where it says, v'kidashta otam, v'ayu kodesh kodashim, konogea behem, yigdash. So then anything that touches them or comes into contact with them will be sanctified. That's a reference to both the Zbeach as well as the Klei HaMishkan. And over there it says that they are able to sanctify that which comes into contact with them. So that's the limud that substantiates that which we saw in the Mishnah. Now Rish Lakish asks a question of Rabbi Yochanan. And it's a major machloket between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam as to how Rabbi Yochanan understood the question. The question that Rish Lakish asked was, Klei Sharet, when you have these utensils that are Kodesh, are they Mikadesh et Apsulim? So the simple interpretation of this would have been, do they have the capacity to do what the Mizbeach and the Kevesh do? Mizbeach and the Kevesh take things that are otherwise psulim and then grab onto them, lock them in to the point where once they're on there, we are makrib them or we do whatever we're supposed to do with them. We don't take them off the Mizbeach. Do Klei Sharet have that same capacity? That would be the simple way to understand it. And that in the end is what the question of Reish Lakish is. But Rabbi Yochanan misunderstood the question. And I'm alay tinitua. It's our Mishnah. They take care of things that belong on them. So too, the Klei Sharet are Mikadesh. Rish Lakish responds to that answer and says, I wasn't asking b'diavad, I was asking lechatchila. So what Rashi suggests over here is that Rabbi Yochanan understood Rish Lakish's question in the following manner. We discussed on the Mishnah that there are two impacts when something becomes kadosh, be'kli sharet. One possible impact is that it's mikadesh the item, so that it gains kedushat the guf. The second impact is that once it has kedushat the guf, it can no longer be redeemed. There's no ability to do pidyon anymore because it's no longer just kedushat the mim, it now has kedushat the guf, and that's not subject to redemption. So the way that Rashi explains the question was that they had something that was tameh. Had it been tameh and never entered a kli sharet, you would be able to redeem the item because it only had Kedushat Damim. On the other hand, if it already enters into a Klei Sharet and now gets Kedushat Aguf, then at that point can you no longer redeem the item. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood the question. You have something like a Mincha that's Tmeah. A Mincha that's Tmeah can be redeemed because it only has Kedushat Damim to it. If the Mincha already has reached the Klei Sharet, then you can no longer redeem it because now it has Kedushat Aguf. That is true if the Mincha made it into the Klei Sharet before it became Tameh. On the other hand, if it was Tmeah before it went into the Klei Sharet, that's what Rabbi Yochanan thought Rish Lakish's question was. Here you have a Mincha Tmeah that only has Kedushat Damim and it's placed into the Klei Sharet. Can it now infuse it, even though it's already Tmeah and Psula, with the Kedushat Aguf to the point where you can't have Pidyon? And that's what Rabbi Yochanan answers. Just like the Mizbeach and the Kevesh function in that way, to take Psulim and still change them into as if they are Ksherim, and we have to treat them like Ksherim. So to over here, even though this is a mincha tmeah psula, nevertheless, the Klei Sharet transforms it into a point where there is kedushat aguf and you can no longer redeem it. Obviously, it's not going to make it kasher to go on the mizbeach, but still, it is transformative to the point where there is kedushat aguf and no redemption. To that, Rish Lakish says, I wasn't asking you b'diavad what's put in there, I'm asking you lechatchila. So Rashi says that there's two changes here. Number one, I'm asking you not b'diavad, but lechatchila. And I'm also not asking you about pidyon. I'm not asking you about redemption, but about the ability of the Klei Sharet to transform something that's pasul to allow it then to be put on the Mizbeach. So then Rabbi Yochanan answers to that, Hai Nami Tanina. That's also a Mishnah. We have the case of Shekiblu Psulim Zerku et Damo. It's a case where the Psulim did the Kabbalat Adam and they did the Zrikat Adam. My love, what is the scenario in that Mishnah? Shekiblu Psulim Zerku Psulim. So the reason that there's something problematic here is because there was Kabbalat Adam by somebody who was Pasul and there was also Zrikat Adam by someone who was Pasul. But that means that the only reason it was Pasul over here is because it was done with Zrikat Adam of Psulim. Had it not been for the Zrikat Adam Psulim, it would have been Kasher. Wait a minute, you had Kabbalat Adam by Psulim. Why is it then that the Zrikat Adam is needed to make it Pasul? That must mean that because the Dam went into a Kli Sharet, even though the Kabbalah was done by a Pasul, that transformed it into a situation where now it is Kasher, quote-unquote, to be put on the Mizbeach. The Kli Sharet captures that Kabbalah Psulah, and allows you then to go ahead and place the dam on the Mizbeach because of that. And that's why you need Kabbalah and Zrikat of a Pasul in order to ruin it. Had it just been Kabbalat Adam, it wouldn't have ruined it. And there Rabbi Yochanan says, there's your proof that a Kli Sharet has that transformative effect that allows you to put dam Pasul on the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, no, you don't have to explain the Mishnah that way. There's a Kiblu Psulim, Inam Ishid Zarku Psulim. Mishnah, when it says Kiblu Psulim Vizarku Psulim, it doesn't mean and, but rather or. It's a case where either there was Kabbalat Adam done by Psulim or Zrikat Adam done by Psulim. Either one of those would be problematic. And then you would not come to the conclusion that the Kli Sharet is able to overcome the problem of Psul and then allow you to put it on Mizbeach Lechatchila. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. Rish Lakish poses a question. Rabbi Yochanan misunderstands the question, thinking it's about Pidyon, answers him. And then Rish Lakish says, that's not what I was asking about. Number one, I was asking Lechatchila, not Bidyabad. And number two, I was asking about allowing it to go on the Mizbeach, not about whether you can redeem it or not redeem it. The Balei Tosafot bring a number of Gemarot that present the problem, and the truth is, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam, in the end, these Gemarot will present the problem, they're going to have to explain it the same way they did for Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam here brings an alternate view as to what the progression of the Gemara was, and that is, we know that the Mizbeach is Mikadesh, items that reach the Mizbeach. If the item is inside of a Kli Sharet, does that then prevent the Mizbeach from having impact on the item? So if they are not deemed to be a Hefsek or a Chatzitza between the item and the Mizbeach, then the Mizbeach has collate them, and Mimalu lo yerdu. On the other hand, if you think that the Kli Sharet functions to be a Hefsek between them, then even if Alu, yerdu, because the Mizbeach was never collate them. And the question is, how similar is the Kli Sharet to the function of the Mizbeach? To the point where it's Batel the Gabe the Mizbeach because they function in the same way, and it's as if the item was on the Mizbeach. But we still see them as separate entities. To that, Rabbi Yochanan says, that's what our Mishnah says, that just like the Mizbeach is Mikadesh, so too the Kelim are Mikadeshim. So that is, Kelim that go up on the Mizbeach have the same impact as being placed on the Mizbeach directly. And Rosh Lakish says, I wasn't asking you Bidyabad, rather Lechatchila. I'm not asking about a case where the Kli already was on the Mizbeach. I'm asking about a Kli that was outside of the Mizbeach, like the Kabbalat Adam, was done by a Pasul. Does it have the ability then to transform it from being something Pasul that then we continue to do the Avod on it because it was already captured in a Kli Sharet, even when it's off the Mizbeach? I understand what you said with regards to the Mizbeach. I agree. That's fine. But that's what I'm asking about. I'm asking about Milchatchila. What's the story if it already went into a Kli Sharet, not on the Mizbeach? Kli Sharet function the same way that the Mizbeach does. One of the reasons that the Balei Tosafot favor Rabbeinu Tam's explanation is because, according to the Shita of Rashi, who believes that Rabbi Yochanan over here says that Kli Sharet are successful at Lechatchila being Makshir, the item, in order to place it on the Mizbeach. But based on the Sugya Mi'ilah on Dav Zayin Amud Bet that the Balei Tosafot mentioned over here, it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan's position is just the opposite. That according to him, Kli Sharet are not successful at being Makshir, that which is Pasul, the Karet. And therefore the Rabbeinu Tam says that Rabbi Yochanan over here proves from our Mishnah exactly that point, that Kli Sharet are not Mikadesh the Psulim, not Krava Lechatchila, because Mishnah says Shekibilo Psulim Vizaruku, that they were Mikabel the Dam and then Zorek the Dam, that's the case where it stays on the Mizbeach. But that is only because Zarku Bidiavad, that they went ahead and did it, even though they weren't supposed to do it. Lechatchila, it sounds like that had they not done the Zrikat the Dam, we wouldn't have allowed it to go on the Mizbeach, because the Zarku et Damo is not a reason for the Psul, but rather an indication as to why Imala lo yereit. If it goes on, it doesn't come off. It's only because it happened already. But had it not happened, we wouldn't allow you to do it lechatchila. And that's the answer to your question. Bidyavad, it works, but lechatchila, if it's in a Kli Sharet, we're not going to allow you to bring it onto the Mizbeach. To that, the Gemara responds, it's not just that the Kiblu Psulim and then the Zarku et Psulim was just brought agav to help us understand the Kabbalat Psulim, that the Kabbalat Psulim ruined it, and only B'diavad gets on the Mizbeach is it kosher, but the Chatchila, no. Rather, these are two separate cases. And in the first case, Kiblu Psulim. If they were Mekabal the Dam, then the Kli Sharet is Mekadesh it, to the point that if the Basar already is on the Mizbeach, then we would allow you to put the Dam on the Mizbeach to complete the Korban, because the Kli Sharet were Mekadesh it, the Chatchila, to go on the Mizbeach. Or, in a separate case, Im Zarku Psulim, if the Psulim already put the Dam on the Mizbeach, then Habasar Imala Lo Yereh. If the Basar gets on the Mizbeach, it won't come off the Mizbeach, but Dam Lo Itkaneach, and then you don't have to wipe the Dam off of the Mizbeach. So by separating the cases, you show that there's a possibility that the Chatchila will allow you to put the Dam on the Mizbeach. Either if the Dam went on first, then we will allow the Basar V'diavad, if it goes up, not to come off. Or if the case where the Basar already is on the Mizbeach, then we allow you, the Chatchila, to put the Dam on the Mizbeach. And that way it would indicate that it is the Chatchila that you can put the Dam on the Mizbeach, and not what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to prove by saying that Shekibelu Psulim Yisarku et Damo is a proof that you can only do it B'diavad. So that's the explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam. So the problem that the Bayit Tosfot raised with Rashi's explanation, and still remains a problem for the Rabbeinu Tam, is that there is a list in the Mishnah before of items that go up to the Mizbeach, that once they're on the Mizbeach, lo yerdu. And one of those items was a Dam Pasul. And Dam Pasul has to be something that was in a Kli Sharet. It was already in a Kli Sharet. It's clear there that the Chatchila you wouldn't put on Mizbeach, because the Mishnah says, Imalu lo yerdu. Doesn't say to put on the Chatchila. So why do I have any question about a Kli Sharet being able to do this outside of the Mizbeach, according to the Rabbeinu Tam? Or for Rashi, the capacity of a Kli Sharet at all to do this, the Mishnah previously said, Dam that goes on the Mizbeach, Imalu lo yerdu. But if it's not on the Mizbeach, then Yerait, it would be taken off the Mizbeach. The Vaitos would answer in both scenarios that it must be a case where it was in a Kli Chol and not in a Kli Sharet. And since they're found in a Kli Chol, that's what the Mishnah is speaking about over there. Over here, we're speaking about a case when they're Kli Kodesh, and that's what they want to know now. Once it's in a Kli Sharet, what is the story? And the Tosafot brought a number of cases like that, where all those cases you have to explain it was in a Kli Chol, because otherwise we'd have an answer to our question over here. Gemara now asks, Avir Mizbeach, Mizbeach Dami or lo? Is the airspace in the Mizbeach have the same status as the Mizbeach itself? Meaning that, does the item have to actually be physically on the Mizbeach? Or as long as it's within the airspace of the Mizbeach, is that sufficient? Tashma, Kashem Shem Mizbeach Mikadesh, Kach Kevesh Mikadesh. So just like the Mizbeach is Mikadesh, we saw in the Mishnah, the ramp works the same way. Iyamar Tavir Mizbeach, Labke Mizbeach Dami. If you say that the airspace in the Mizbeach is not like the Mizbeach, Avir Kevesh, Nami Loke Kevesh Dami. Then the airspace of the ramp will also not be like the ramp. So then, heichi basically mikevesh the mizbeach. How does he get the item from the kevesh, from the ramp, to the mizbeach? Because if the kevesh captures the item to the point where that is deemed to be, quote-unquote, kasher, something that pasul that ended up on the kevesh, we don't take it off, but now you have to get it onto the pyre on the mizbeach. The problem with that is, kavale yarud. You're going to end up taking it off the kevesh and then placing it on the mizbeach. If you lift it up off the kevesh, then it's already in the Avir Kevesh, which is not deemed to be on the Mizbeach. And it's the equivalent of taking it off the Mizbeach or off the Kevesh. Then how can you go place it in the Mizbeach afterwards? Where it says, no problem, the Nugget Leg. It's a case where he dragged it. So he never has to take it off the physical Kevesh or the physical Mizbeach by getting it there. Vaha Avir Yesh Ben Kevesh the Mizbeach. Wait a minute, we learned earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Samach Bet, about the Avir, that gap that was between the ramp and the Mizbeach that forced the Kohanim to have to throw Bizorek Deibarim onto the Mizbeach. So there's a gap between the ramp and the Mizbeach. And as you're dragging it from the ramp onto the Mizbeach, you're going to cross over that airspace. So Gemara says, no problem with that. Rubo la kevesh, ke kevesh. The majority of the Aver is over the ramp, then it's considered as if it's on the ramp. Rubo la Mizbeach, ke Mizbeach. When the majority of it is on the Mizbeach, then it's classified like the Mizbeach. Meaning that the airspace is too small to capture the rove of the Aver. And in either point of time, the robe of the Aver is either on the ramp or is on the Mizbeach. So Mar says, Tifsho miha. That's the case, let us conclude. Had the Bai Rami Barchama. Yesh Chibur le'olim. Olo. Is there a din of Chibur to things that go on the Mizbeach? Are they considered to be a single entity or are they considered to be disparate parts? Over here, we make it clear that it's considered to be a single entity because we're saying whatever the robe is, that governs the entire Aver, even though parts of the Aver are over the Avir. Gemara says, Tifsho Deish Chibur. So the Gemara says, then you could actually conclude from this the question that was posed as to whether it's considered to be a single item or an item that is made up of disparate parts. Gemara says, Halokasha, that's not a problem. Tifsho. Okay, come to that conclusion. There's nothing bothersome about coming to that conclusion. You're right. That would be the conclusion from this. The implications of the Gemara are that if it was that Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach Dami, it wouldn't be a problem. And that is because the Beit Tosfot would say that that gap between the ramp and the Mizbeach itself was over the Amah HaSovev. And therefore the Sovev itself is classified like the Mizbeach, and therefore anything above that Sovev would be considered like Avir Mizbeach and not be a problem. So it's only a problem if you believe Avir Mizbeach ain't Oki Mizbeach. Although the Rabbeinu Chaim is bothered by that, because he said earlier on, the Gemara, when it spoke about Avir Mizbeach, made a parallel between the Basar and the Dam, that just like there is Avir Karka that is Mafsik between the Dam and the Mizbeach, so too there has to be Avir Karka that's Mafsik between the Basar and the Mizbeach. And therefore, if it's only over the Sovev, that's not the case. Therefore, he says the gap between the Kevesh and the Mizbeach had to be greater than the Amah HaSovev. And there was a gap after the Amah HaSovev, an additional gap that gave you that Avir that was there. And that's what we showed back on Daf Samach Venom and Bed in the diagrams, the third Shita of Shita Trapapa, according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chaim here in this Balei Tosafot, that the gap was not just the Sovev, but an additional little bit of Avir that extended it more than an Amah, a gap that was slightly greater than an Amah. And in that case, it would be a question according to both Shita, whether Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach or not, then you still have to get over that area where there is no Mizbeach. And if that's the case, then how do you get it across from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach? So Matkiv Rova by Rav Chanan, Ayamart Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach Dami. If you want to suggest that the Avir Mizbeach is like the Mizbeach, Olat Ha'Ov Tipsula B'machshava Heichem Mishkachala. How do you have a Olat Ha'Ov that's Pasul that doesn't end up on the Mizbeach? Hakalta Mizbeach. It's automatically captured by the Mizbeach. Remember that the Olat Ha'Ov is done on the upper half of the Mizbeach. So the Kohen is already on the Sovev of the Mizbeach, and he's in the Avir HaMizbeach. So when he does it with a Psul Machshava, the Mizbeach automatically captures it because you're in the Avir Mizbeach. So out of every scenario, we have Psul Machshava that doesn't allow the item to be placed on the Mizbeach. Though Tosfot does ask, didn't we say back on Daf Samachay, that the Kohen that's doing the Olat Ha'Ov on the Mizbeach of the Sovev has an additional amah below his feet that he can do this in because of the fact that the chut sikra is actually an amah below the sovev. Now what's the question about there being a psul by the oaf? You can put the oaf over the side of the sovev and then use that area that's above the chut sikra. And that way it won't be over avir mizbeach, and then you can have a psul that has impact because it's yarat. It came off the mizbeach. The Beit Tosfot would say, according to Rashi back there who said that there was a little platform there to catch the blood, then it would make sense because then you would still be over avir mizbeach. Or, it's only according to the Shita over there, Reb Nechemia, that says back on Daf Samachay, that he had smain in a sita, but gufashel keren. It also has to be done on the keren itself. And if that's the case, you aren't going to go below the feet. And the question here is based on that Shita of Rabbi Nechemia. Matkifla Rav Shimi Barashi, alamalo, why don't you have a scenario like that? Nishkach alakagon, damar. Could be a situation in which he says, sereni moka, amanat lo duida lemachar, that I'm doing the malika with the condition that I'm going to take it off the Mizbeach tomorrow. Ula haluta, and then put it back on, ula haktira. So then, if he actually, as Rashi says over here, does that, and takes it off the Mizbeach on the next day, you're going to run yourself into a problem, because he took it off the Mizbeach. So it's interesting here that the Gemara is actually searching for a practical application of the Machshava to make it Pasul, which implies that only if in reality he carried out the Machshava, it would create a Psul, then the Machshava would be Poselet. But is that really true? Isn't it the point that the Machshavet Chutz L'Zmano and Chutz L'Mekomo inherently are problematic, irrespective of whether if they were done in that manner, they would be Pasul or not be Pasul? It's all about the Machshava being the problem. So that would work well according to Rava, who says that even when you're on the Rosh HaMizbeach, Lina still has impact over here, and who leaves the item over till the next day, the Lina will be impactful on it and make it into something that is Pasul. According to Rabbu, who says when you're in the Rosh Mizbeach, Lina has no impact on the item. Then you don't have any case where Machshevet Psul is going to create a problem for an Olat Ha'Ov. Then you can't put it on the Mizbeach. So the Rabbu, Nami Mishkach Alakagon Damar, Harini Moka, Amanat Lo Rida, Kodem Amud HaShachar. I'm doing the Mlika with the intent of taking it off the Mizbeach before Amud HaShachar. Olo Ha'Lota Lachar Amud HaShachar, and then put it on the Mizbeach after Olot HaShachar. Because then when it's off the Mizbeach, during that period of time, when he actually does it and takes it off the Mizbeach, during that time around Olot HaShachar, it becomes Psulina. And then that Psulina will not allow it to go back onto the Mizbeach. So those are scenarios where your Machshava will have impact. So Gemara says, Achisa, So even if you conclude that the question of Rabbi Baruch Hanan isn't valid over here because of the questions of Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, nevertheless, he says, Achisa, in the other direction, Mi'atifsho, we could come to the conclusion that Mizbech and Mizbech Dami come to the exact opposite conclusion because of a question that exists. And that is, Zisagadatcha Avir Mizbech Lav Ki Mizbech Dami, because if you really hold that the Avir Mizbech is not like Mizbech, Chatat Of Psulai, Achei Mazet Midama. If you have a Chatat Of, which is Psula, how do you ever get the Dam onto Mizbech? Avalei Yerot, because it's already off the Mizbech. Meaning that the Chatat Of, even though you can do the Malika on the top of the Mizbech, as you said before, there's no indication of location for the Malika Chatat Of, there is a demand that it be done below Chuta Sikra in terms of the Matanot Dam. And then you'd have to leave the Mizbech, exit the Mizbech then to go down below and do the Matanot Dam. So if Avir Mizbech, Enoki Mizbech, then how do you take Chatat Of that's on the Shlod Ishma? This Chatat Apsulat at the top of the Mizbech and do the Hazat Adam on the Mizbech without removing it from the Mizbech? Because then you're going to have to go down, assuming that you're either on the Kevesh or you're over the Yisod doing this, and therefore it's always considered to be within the Avir Mizbech. But if the Avir Mizbech is not Mikadesh, then you've removed it from the Mizbeach. If you've removed it from the Mizbeach, how then are you allowed to place it onto the Mizbeach? And similarly with other korbanot, for instance, over here, like the Chatat Of that's on the Shlodishma, or other korbanot that are done in a way that makes them psulim, according to Rabban Gamliel, who says that if you have a Beima Psula, then Imala Lo Yerei with regards to the Dam, now that the Dam's on the Mizbeach in a Kli, how do you get it down to the base below to do the Zrika the Dam if the Avir Mizbeach is not Kadosh? Then you're taking it off the Mizbech, and then it's Yarad, and any other Korban that has Psun it, Echizarek Lohu Midama. How you ever have a case where the Dam ends up in the Mizbech? Because you have to do Zrikat Adam, Shtaim Shein Arba, which also requires you to be down on the floor of the Azara in order to accomplish that. Mar's answer is the Magaluhu. He keeps it attached to the Mizbech the entire time. He keeps it adjacent or touching the Mizbech the entire time. Mar says, Hahazoi? That's not considered to be Hazah. Mitzoihi. That's like squeezing it out onto the Mizbeach itself. That's not Hazah. Hazah is when it squirts out of the bird towards the Mizbeach, but not when it's touching the Mizbeach. Hazrika? That's not Zrikat Adam. Shvichai? That's like pouring the blood on. Well, that's problematic, because then you're not really doing Hazat Adam, but rather Mitzui Adam. And you're doing Shvichat Adam and not Zrikat Adam. Oh, Derech Hazah Bekach? Derech Zrikah Bekach? Even if you want to suggest that these are considered to be Hazah or considered to be Zrikah, nevertheless, that's not the normal way that one would carry this out. And therefore, how could you claim that that's the way it's being done in this instance in order to facilitate a case where you can have the dam being placed on the Mizbeach? So Amar Rav Ashi, Idin Akadlu Berosh Mizbeach Achanami. The coin's holding at the top of the Mizbeach. There we don't have any question that Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach, because the coin creates basically a bridge between that item and the Mizbeach. And as long as he's on the Mizbeach somewhere, then the item that he is, Machzik, is considered to be as if it is on the Mizbeach. If that's the case, Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach is not even a question over there because of the bridge that the Kohen creates between the object and the Mizbeach. The question really is, Kikamar, our question was, the Talinu Bikanyo, in a case where he held it over the Mizbeach with a staff, my, what's the din then? Is that considered to be Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach Dami or not? So that we leave as a teku, as an unresolved issue. So with regards to the Avir Mizbeach, all these questions would fall away because the Kohen, as long as he's on the Mizbeach, he can move with the item on the Mizbeach and it will be considered as if the item remains on the Mizbeach the whole time. And that's even if he descends to go do the Matnot down below, as long as he stays over the Kevesh or the Mizbeach at all points in time, whatever he's holding in his hand will still have that same status. Question becomes, when it's being held over the Mizbeach without any Kohen bridging between the Mizbeach and the item, is that Avir Mizbeach and Mizbeach Dami? And that we don't have an answer to. We leave as a teiku. Okay, we're going to stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Pechet Amud Aleph.